Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The name Roy Miller is synonymous in New Zealand with the art of stained glass. You may not have heard his name, but you could well have seen his work. He's responsible for around 300 stained glass windows in churches across the country. Now, with the art of stained glass in danger of dying out, there's an urgent need to protect and conserve the windows. Roy's nephew is Brian Miller, and he's the author of Capturing Light, a book which documents Roy's work and that of the artists and designers he collaborated with. And Brian joins me now. Hello there.
Hi. How are you
going? Oh, real
pleasure. You might have started some of those reading parties, eh?
Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, I reckon.
Yeah. I like the idea that someone's got, you know, someone's reading your book, Capturing Light, and at a certain point we'll get up and say, oh, what are you reading? Yeah, it's about stained glass. Great.
Yeah, sounds great.
Okay. Whereabouts are you?
I'm in Dunedin.
Okay. Well, we'll have to wait for the Dunedin one, Brian. I'll let you know.
Yeah.
Was this a bit of a labour of love, this book?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 3 years labour of love. I had to travel around the country and locate 300 windows and then research the artist working with Roy, who had all died. But the lucky break was each window has a cartoon, a large full-size plan, and after his death they were rolled up and put into the Hocken so I could make a database and find out exactly where these windows were.
Yeah. And I guess you learned something about stained glass along the way. I mean, when did it begin, this idea of using that in churches in particular?
Yeah, so it goes back almost 1,000 years when they started building cathedrals in Europe. They tried to make an illusion of heaven on earth with big spaces, high ceilings and filtered coloured light. And that's where it all began. And then they put people into the windows because most parishioners would be illiterate. And so they were telling stories on the walls.
Uh-huh.
That's why they're called cartoons. Yeah.
And is there a... I hadn't heard that term in relation to stained glass before. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Is there a sort of a... an HQ for stained glass in New Zealand? Is there one particular city or place where it really thrived?
Yeah, certainly Dunedin was the original centre. These cathedrals went for about 300 years, and then stained glass took a dive with the Renaissance and Reformation and things, and it went right down the bottom. Then 19th century, they started reviving Gothic ruins in the UK. They had to revive stained glass windows as well. And that's when Dunedin was built at the same time. Dunedin had the advantage of 42 tons of gold. That's why Dunedin became the centre in New Zealand.
It was well-funded.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. What do you know about the life and work of your uncle, Roy Miller?
Yeah, he, a very quiet guy. You could hardly hear him talking when he chatted away.
Really?
Yeah, very quiet. But he worked for my grandfather as a signwriter. But right next door to the studio was a guy called Robert Fraser, and he was the first stained glass artist in Australasia. And so Roy started work at 14, and he was watching Robert Fraser next door making stained glass windows for many years. And that's where he got this passion for stained glass off Robert Fraser, who was the guy who glazed the mansions around Dunedin.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. And that's how I'm sure it was passed down over the centuries, one person mentoring another.
And
passing on that knowledge. And is that part of the reason why it's sometimes referred to as a dying art, because that just doesn't happen so much anymore?
Yeah, it relates to churches underfunding and dying churches, and most windows in churches. And so with a drop-off in churches, it's just a drop-off in demand. Yeah.
Is it an art?
It's definitely an art, although they were considered tradesmen. There's very little record of all their windows if you look at stained glass artists around New Zealand. They just weren't considered artists. They were put on another level, and no one recorded a note of their work or any database of their work. If you ring a church about a window, they'll always assume you're ringing about the donor, not the guy who drew and made the window.
Huh.
Yeah.
this is, might be a strange question, but I imagine the light might be a little different in New Zealand compared to where stained glass was first invented. Did that change the way it was done here at all?
Yeah, it does. New Zealand's got much stronger light than Europe. When you go across to Europe, you have to increase your camera by about a stop.
And because really? Of that,
yeah, it's quite noticeable. And so they can use much richer colours in the stained glass windows in New Zealand because of that. And sometimes you'll see English windows that come out to New Zealand, and they look washed out because they were made for more delicate light. Yeah, so we've got much richer colours.
Yeah, gosh. Mm-hmm. Do you have favourite pieces that you've seen around New Zealand?
Yeah, certainly some stand out. Roy always said two of his favourites were in the Ashburton Hospital Chapel, if anyone's driving through Ashburton. The Nelson Cathedral Lady Chapel has some beautiful work.
Yeah.
And then most churches have a variety of windows by different artists made over time as people donate the money. But two churches stand out in Wellington, St Barnabas Roseneath and St John's Trentham. All the windows are made by Roy in those churches.
Oh.
And it's very unusual to see uniform artwork around all the walls. Yeah.
Can you see that one in Roseneath from the, I was going to say from the ground, but from the city?
Yeah, it's on the corner of the road going up to Roseneath. You've got to get the key to go inside.
Okay.
I spent weeks on the phone trying to find the key for these churches. Half of them were closed down. It took me a long time. But that one's still running. Yeah.
And then I assumed that once you got the glass in, that that would be it for thousands of years. But it actually does need a bit of conservation and upkeep.
The lead softens over time, and especially in New Zealand with our salty winds and so on. It's quite rough on the lead. And on average, most windows need re-leading every 100 years. That's a very average figure. But many churches will have windows that have slumped. Once the lead softens and the window slumps, it then needs some work. It needs to be taken to bits and then re-leaded. And that costs $10,000 or more. So that's quite a problem. Yeah,
and I don't imagine many churches have a big slush fund of money just to spend on things like that in petty cash. So is that part of the problem that's
a massive problem.
These pieces need upkeep, but there isn't necessarily anyone to pay for it.
There's this beautiful heritage of glass work in New Zealand, and it needs constant upkeep. And there's very few artists who can do it as well these days. So it's quite a problem. And also a lot of churches are closing down. And where are these windows going to go to? Because they're really just fit for a church. They're not going to fit into your family home.
Yeah.
So that's another thing to look out for. Yeah.
Do you think stained glass, the artistry of stained glass, has a future?
The key to stained glass is handmade glass. All the glass is made by blowing bubbles of glass up into very thin sheets, and every single piece is unique. They used to do things like throw potatoes into the vat of glass to make them explode and create little bubbles in the glass.
Yeah,
and it's the wee bubbles that actually give you that sparkle. And so the key to stained glass is handmade glass, whereas when someone says, I've got stained glass in my house, that's not stained glass, that's just commercial uniform coloured glass.
Right.
So it's the handmade that's the key, and that's not made in many countries anymore because of the drop-off of churches. The big drop-off was 1987, the stock market crash. That's when churches cancelled their orders overnight, and my uncle's studio closed down. I mean, he'd died by then, but someone carried on. And all around the world in 1987, stained glass collapsed, and it's never recovered to this day. My uncle's making about one window a month, but there's very, very few windows being made these days. Yeah.
Do you have any ideas for keeping the art alive?
There's got to be a demand from people to put it into their houses and commercial buildings. They've got to recreate, more abstract artwork. But that means locating handmade glass, which is very expensive and hard to come by. So the key to that is getting a need for stained glass windows in churches and commercial buildings, really. A thirst for it.
Yeah, I guess that might be a conversation with architects to let them know that there's this option for commercial buildings, to have a bit of...
Yeah, it would need to be driven by them, I think. the public needs to understand what stained glass really is for a start, and perhaps have a look at these churches, the more abstract drawings, and get a feeling for the art.
Yeah. Where can people find your book?
It's on our website. You probably have a link on your web.
You would think so.
Yeah, I've
sort of been too focused on my reading club. I might not have got around to that.
Anyway, it's on our website, and I'm sure that link will be on your web.
Yeah, we'll put it up there if that's okay, Andrew. What's the website, please?
Lifelogs.co.nz.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time today.
That's all right.
And thanks for preserving the work and memory of your uncle.
Yep, okay, cool.
It's Brian Miller talking about stained glass and in particular the work of his uncle Roy.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.